Blog Talk Radio.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are Visionary Women.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to the Visionary Hotspot. Today we are here with the amazing, amazing woman, Cheryl Newsom. How are you, my dear?
Hey, sister, I am well. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me on. How are you?
Wonderful. Listen, I am doing wonderful, honey, because you came into the studio chat, and we're going to have a real talk.
Of course.
Yes,
let's get real.
We've got some things to
address.
Yes,
we do.
With the climate.
This is an important topic.
With the way the world is going. We definitely need to talk about this subject, everyone. So, ladies, come on in. Don't forget, you can always join us at the Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And today, we are talking about why is there such shame around being on welfare or food stamps? Cheryl, tell us why this is such an important conversation for us to have.
This is an important conversation because the state of our economic all across the country, we are not the 1%. Most of us are not the 1%. And middle class is slowly declining into nothing because we're all living check to check. We're in a climate where you need a two-family income. And life is really hard, so we're just trying to make it. And if you're sending your kids to college so they can get a job, you don't have any money to save over. And for many people, it is hard just to make ends meet. And the idea of paying these taxes, all of us paying these taxes, and not having the government be dedicated to taking care of us, making sure that we can do that, and then shaming us for it, it's just a disgusting. It's a very, very disgusting part of our culture.
Wow. It's almost like, you know, in my head, it's almost like, okay, guess what? I'm going to take what little bit you do have as a nation, as part of the global community, and then when you can't afford to pay me anymore, I'll go ahead and give you partly what you paid up front, and then I'm going to shame you for asking for what you already bought into. Isn't that kind of crazy as hell? Like can we really think in terms of this?
It is absolutely crazy. The thing is, American values idolize wealth, and wealth by any means. You know, we look towards people like old money that got it by bootlegging and all those other terms, or just on the backs of free labor or, you know, abusive labor. And we loathe poverty, though most of us are living in it. Most of us are living below, you know, living in low income. And there's so much shame. There's so much shame that you find people who are living in housing development buying things to make them feel like they have something because we place our value in the things that we have. And we're so ashamed that we're too ashamed to say, I want to feed my family. How insane is that? The welfare, you know, I was like looking at some statistics and like SNAP, food stamps, 38.6% of people that are on SNAP are only on it for 37 to 48 months. So it's not even like, you know, that legend of the welfare queen that was pushed in the 80s. That's not the reality of the situation. And the average, last November, the average person got $125 a month in food stamps.
Wow.
Have you been to the grocery store?
Okay.
That's not a lot of money. That is barely making ends meet. And I remember being in college and suffering and being in New York, so not being able to pay my rent and really just trying to figure out and make ends meet and going to apply for food stamps and being told that I could not, though I was clearly not making ends meet and I needed the food, I didn't qualify because I was in college. I was told to drop out and get a second job.
Wow.
Because it was never a point where I've been working since I was 12. And the idea that I was in college so that I would not need this assistant later on, but I'm not able to survive through that. It's really just a system that's made up for the rich, and most of us aren't. Most of us just are not on the better half of this situation, and to be ashamed that you're feeding your family with that little $125 a month. Like, come on.
Wow. And you know what? You know, Cheryl, I don't mean to cut you off, but I found that fascinating when you were given the statistics. What I find fascinating also is that we divide ourselves as a nation among what we think or what is propagand to us in mainstream media about who is on welfare and or food stamps.
Certainly.
And what we don't realize is that people who look just like you and I and then look like other people and look like our friends and look like our neighbors, and they are literally also eating on welfare. See, what we forgot that poor actually does not have a real color, because black people, we only make a 14% of the United States population. So then that means there are other populations that make up a greater portion. So when we think in terms of food stamps, we have right now today, I just read a statistic on .gov, that 25%, now listen to this staggering number, 25% of children from the ages of 18 and below go to bed hungry in this country when we think of terms of how people can throw food in the trash, and I'm not kidding, throw food in the trash, won't eat leftovers, and then we think in terms of 25% of the nation's children are going hungry. How great of a disservice really is that? An injustice.
It is such an injustice. I remember being at, I won't name the college, but a private college when I first moved to Tennessee, studying theology. I won't say anything more than that. But I was at the school, and they have a Chick-fil-A, and a friend of mine picked up a 5-piece. She was going to get it. And then she decided, you know, no, I don't think I'm going to get this. Put it down. They picked it up and threw it away. And we were like, why would you do that? And they're just like, well, we can't sell it. But you can't give it away. There were so many homeless people just around the campus. The idea that at the end of the day, you are tossing out food. You are tossing out food. And you have countries like Canada where the supermarket, when the food isn't the freshest, not even fully rotten, just isn't the freshest, they have to give it away to the homeless. The idea that people are starving, and like you said, children, I've worked with these kids. You know, these school lunch programs, the free lunch programs and the school breakfast, these are all supported also by the public assistance allotment. And people complain, I don't remember exactly what year it was, but it was just a few years back, and it was like the average person is paying $36 a year from their taxes that go to the food stamp, the welfare allotment. But most of our money goes to corporate endorsements and military and things like that, and we are totally fine with that. But feeding people is a shame. It's absolutely despicable. And
it is
the idea that we are this Christian nation, and I don't know what could be more Christ-like than not feeding your neighbor. I honestly don't.
Yeah. That's so bizarre, because that's you know, I was sharing this on my social media platforms. You know, we will be judged on how we treat each other, how we help the homeless, how we take care of the orphan, how we are there for the fatherless. These are the things that we will be judged on. So when we think in terms of food stamps or welfare, it's such a negative connotation associated with it. But the funny thing is that the very people who put that spin on it are the very people who are part of that 1% who actually should pay more, because
they keep it going.
Yes, they keep it going.
You look at companies like Walmart that have all these part-time workers because, you know, a lot of these companies keep part-time workers because you don't have to pay benefits and there are a lot of legal things you don't have to meet. And so they keep part-time workers who now have to get on welfare, but there are no laws to force these companies to provide really decent living. And when I hear people complain about the $15 an hour, it's like, do you know how much it costs to live? And guess what?
Right.
These companies are making enough. They are making enough to trickle the $15 down to the bottom and pay everybody more. We should be paying more because the money's there and it's going somewhere. Going somewhere. Not to us.
Wow.
Not to the people that need it. And then to shame. I think about I used to work with children. And I remember talking to my students about their style and what made them, you know, why they picked the things that they liked. And one student very honestly said to me, you know, we just don't want people to think we're poor. Now, I worked in a housing project. I worked in an after-school program in a housing project. And I had to tell them, I'm like, you realize that you're spending money you don't have to impress other poor people. But it's the shame. It's the idea that these people are born poor and their whole community is poor, yet they are all shamed and all trying to run from it. But there's no money going into the communities. There's no money going into the education system to actually give them a fighting chance. And guess what? Everybody can't dribble a ball. Everybody can't rap. Teach our kids how to code. Teach our children how to work, you know, finances. And have a decent book. And when I say our children, I don't just mean black children because, like you said, we're only 14% of this population. And there are way more than 14% living below the poverty level.
Exactly.
And it does hit African Americans and people of color harder because systematically we are not given the opportunity from birth.
Mm-hmm,
it's based on education. You're not, you know, how is your mother supposed to go out and get a job and move up when there's no money for childcare? There's no money. Like, it becomes easier to survive on welfare than it is to go out and get a job. And that is not because people don't want to work. But when you are at threat of if you're working for minimum wage and you're in threat of losing your job because you have to take care of your children and you are working two jobs so you are never around your children, guess what? If you are making just about what you would make on food stamps, then food stamps welfare becomes the better option. And the problem isn't that they chose welfare over that. The problem is that working is not set up for people to survive and to move forward. That is a systematic problem that we as a nation need to handle.
Yeah, because you know what's so interesting? It's almost like a Venus flytrap. I mean, think about it.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's like you're too poor, you know, to feed yourself, clothe yourself, etc. But then you make too much to be poor. So it's this weird conundrum. And here's the interesting thing about this.
Yes.
It's very weird because here's this interesting thing about this. I know a lot of upper middle class, very wealthy or regular middle class people. And I'm telling you, and I'm not kidding, everybody is fronting. When you sit here you think about being in $100,000 worth of student loans, add a mortgage to that, add cars to that, then add your bills, then you add food. God forbid if you have more than one child, guess what, darling? That six figures you make at your corporate division, it really only affords you about a $50,000 lifestyle because you have all of this extra debt. Oh, God.
Don't get sick.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? And see, these are the things that I – Go ahead, Cheryl, because
What is the middle class? What is the middle class? You know, it's like middle class used to be you were able to pay your mortgage, pay your bills, and save.
Yes.
And have decent saving. We don't have that. And I feel like the middle class is now what appears to be the middle class. It's not actually what the middle class used to be. You know, appear to have it all together. But if you are one mortgage away from losing your home, if you drop a bit, someone gets sick, and you can't do it, if you have to choose between mortgage and your child finishing college, guess what? Don't have a smart child. that gets into a good school, geez.
Right.
It's, you know, it becomes terrifying. It becomes terrifying.
Wow.
And I grew up on welfare, and I grew up, and I thank God for programs like that because my family would not have been able to feed me.
Wow.
We would not have been able to survive. And nothing about it, there's no glory in it. Like you said, there's shame in it. So you don't, no kid grows up and like, I want to be on welfare. That's, I'm going to spend the rest of my life on this. You know, life will beat you down. So when you see people that, you know, where it becomes the generational crutch, that is, those are broken people. Those are not people taking advantage. Those are people who have been broken. And if we want to heal that, we have to restructure the way we see poverty, the way we see wealth. We can't keep looking at people as though they are disgusting and beneath us when we are but one paycheck away from being these people.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Cheryl, we are getting ready to take a short break, but everyone, we are going to jump right back into this conversation on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Join us at thevisionarywoman.com, a media network of women, for women, by women. Watch our hosts of insightful video exchange interviews. Listen to the Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio to empower your evenings and read fascinating articles of perseverance and inspiration, all with you in mind. Visit thevisionarywoman.com and follow us on our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Everyone, we are back from our short break. And remember, we are talking about why is there such shame around being on welfare or food stamps? And we are having this fascinating conversation with Cheryl Newsom. How are you, Cheryl?
I am fine. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here and talking about this because I hate the stigma, and I don't want anybody that's growing up on public assistance to believe that they are somehow lesser than anyone else, because you're not.
Mm.
And thank God we have a program, and I do thank God for the welfare program. I thank God for the for WIC and Medicaid and food stamps, because we'd be back in the 30s without it. We'd be back in the Depression where people are starving to death. In November 2016, they did the survey. There were 43.1 million people on food stamps. 43.1 million. Like, this is not a small, like, this isn't a group of people taking advantage, you know? You don't have 43.1 million people in this country taking advantage. You had 7.3 million people on WIC, which means that, and WIC really just provides, you know, milk and baby food and fresh juice and things like that. Without WIC, imagine 7.3 million mothers on WIC whose children would be starving in this country without it. And now granted, that 43.1 million was down 2.2 million from the year before. And the 7.3 million was down 432,000 from the year before. So let's be clear that, like I said, most people are on it between 37 and 48 months. So it's not a lifetime thing. This is a crutch for people to move up. It is while they're waiting to get that job, because no one wants to live like that. No one wants to be dependent on the government.
And I think also, too, Cheryl, a lot of the reasons why some of these statistical numbers are also going down is because the criteria to get these assistance programs are becoming harder to meet. So if you think in terms, you know what I'm saying? Let's think in terms of the 1980s, because that was one of the things that you mentioned. A dollar in the 1984, okay? Cooley High was out.
Yes.
Everybody was good. The 1990s came in. A-ball jackets were rolled in.
Yes.
Earrings came in, right? A dollar packed in the late 80s, early 90s, that was the equivalent to maybe $2 or $3 today. Because the truth of the matter is there is not enough United States currency floating around anymore. Now we have the digital economic currency. So when we think in terms of the value to dollar versus what it can buy you, when you're on food stamps, you don't pay taxes on your food. But then think about it in terms of this. You don't get enough assistance to really eat well either. So you're offsetting what you're doing. So what do you think about that?
Exactly. Like I said, with the average person gets $125 a month on welfare. People have this idea that there's like $600-$700 coming in a month for these people. And if the average, and there are some people who get, you know, probably close to $500 who have multiple children who are really struggling to keep that going. That means there are people. Oh, I have a friend who was only getting $25. I couldn't get the $25 a month, you know, when I was in school and struggling to make it. They told me no for the $25. So it's not like a lot of people are getting it. And like you were saying, the criteria now is if your asset limit is $2,250 for the average household.
Oh my God!
That is the amount of assets you can be bringing in, and you don't, and then you can't. You make too much.
Wow!
Rent in New York for a one bedroom.
Oh my God!
It's $1,200. You know what I mean? And that's when I left a few years ago, and that's in the hood. You know, that isn't a nice apartment in New York. And people don't have the money to pick up and move, to pick up and leave.
Right.
You know, to get into a housing development, there are. In smaller cities, like in North Carolina, you have a 2-3 year wait. In bigger cities, you have a 10-year wait. Where are you while you're waiting to get into your housing apartment?
Right.
You know?
Because in New York City, you're also, if while you're waiting, you're placed in a shelter if you have children. And see, the problem with this whole theory is that there's this myth that you can start from nothing and come up. And for certain people, that is an option, especially if you're, let's say if you're an immigrant and you're coming into this country to start your life over, you don't pay taxes for 10 years, so that makes sense. But if you're born and raised right here in the United States, you have to figure it out on your own. And so what my thoughts are when it comes to food stamps and welfare, the shame that is associated with it, I fear, and Cheryl, correct me if I'm wrong, but I fear that a lot more people are going to feel that shame because the way this country is being directed, you know, the way the direction we're going, we're going to end up knowing more people than not who are either in bankruptcy, have been in bankruptcy, or on food stamps, on welfare, getting free medical, because the cost of living is astronomically going up. One of the reasons why I think a lot of people are moving towards Nashville is because the cost of living is not quite as bad as certain places around the nation. So what do you think we can do to combat this theory of shame and welfare?
Now, let's keep in mind that Nashville is on its way up, too. I keep warning people, I see it. I see it going the way of Brooklyn.
Yes.
I can see it now, and it is not going to stay affordable. And when you look at, like, our current president, if he were a poor man with those views, he would not be president. You know?
Yeah.
He's president because people admire the wealth. People admire the money he has. And guess what? He wasn't on the come up. He's not somebody who pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. That's not the reality of the situation. And while we admire someone who is clearly into nepotism and, you know, it's pushing towards corruption where he's pushing just people with money into these positions that are not going to better the country for the whole, it becomes a system where when we look up to the people that are our leaders, they themselves shame poverty. They themselves put down people. And so to be on the come up, guess what? I can be qualified for the job, but if you're going to see Shaniqua at the top of my resume and keep going, then me and my kids aren't going to make it. We're not going to make it. And I know for a fact this happens. I've had friends who have done experiments where they'll send in the same job application and the same housing application in New York City, exact same. The only difference is the name. One clearly black and one white, or an assumed white name. And the black people don't get a call. I've had, for an apartment, my friend got two calls for the white where he turned it down. He said no once and was called back again before the other one was, before the black person was even called. And it becomes a focus. It becomes a focus type of hate. It becomes a focus type of loathing where this is what the person on welfare looks like, because even the white person on welfare is supposed to have a look. They're supposed to look like trailer park drug addicts. You know, and it's just as disgusting. We're all trying to make it, regardless of creed,
right,
color. We are all trying. We all want a piece of that American dream. And when you are here and you are already starting from behind where your education isn't valued by the education system itself and college isn't a real reality, and then you are stuck trying to get a job where you are not, you have not been prepared. And on top of that, even when you are prepared, you are looked over. The idea of us coming up as a full community becomes that much more of a struggle. And to justify it, the stigma, the propaganda continues.
Mm-hmm.
It is
wow.
Constantly filtered in that. It is constantly filtered in this horrible view of people who require public assistance, and the people that do look like everyone else that are on it just don't say it. I don't see
wow.
the shame. I don't see the shame at all in public assistance. I don't see the shame at all in feeding your family. I see the shame in greed. I see shame in hoarding wealth. I see the shame in trying to avoid taxes. You know, you have some of the richest people in this country saying that they should be paying more taxes, saying that they should, that is what they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
They are seen as crazy. Like, it's crazy for you to feel like everyone should be equal. It's absolutely disgusting.
But see, then the conversation goes back to who we are as a community, because, you know what, here's the bottom line. Here is the absolute bottom line. Government can only do so much for you. This government has only done but so much for its citizens. Let's start there. So secondly, how do we start taking back our power? We start taking back our power in our communities when we know that there's a little child who is going hungry. Instead of shaming that child even further, how about taking what little bit you have or going to an organization who can help feed that child? And if that organization can't, how about taking something from your own dinner table and put, you know what I'm saying? We put too much of our power in the hands of people who are not willing to help us.
Well, I think the problem is we don't have power, because guess what? The house next to you barely has enough food to eat too. Our communities are locked in on poverty. I don't think it's that we don't want to help. I think that the fear, like people talk about crabs in a barrel, but no one takes a second to realize that crabs are not supposed to be in a barrel. That's not the crab's natural habitat. So you can't force us like crabs out of the ocean into a barrel and then judge us on the activities of trying to get out of that barrel. It becomes an activity of, if I am starving and I have to worry about the next meal that my kids are going to eat, I may want to feed the person next door, but I can't. The fact is, if I am stripped of my taxes, you know, if I'm barely after taxes making any money, the government is supposed to. When it comes to making a way, it is up to the people that are in charge of the schools. It is, because they decide how the funding goes. They decide the education. They decide the preparation we're going to get, because guess what? Everybody can't afford to homeschool. I even would love to. But if you don't have someone that can sustain the home, you can't do that. If you have to, you both are working constantly. And if you're working at Walmart, guess what? Homeschool ain't an option. And you need to be able to trust that your children are being educated, that they can at least have a future, that if you can survive, that they can move forward and progress. And I feel like, you know, we say, you know, what about the communities? I don't think the communities don't want to do anything. I know I grew up with nothing, with so many nonprofit programs trying, but the funding is constantly cut. And there are poor people trying to help poor people. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Poverty it's, you know, you're stealing from Peter, you borrow from Peter to give to Paul. It's kind of like you don't have it. And it,
right.
And then, again, the propaganda with the shame.
Right. So here's how we're going to have to do this, lady. This is such a fascinating conversation, lady, and we have enjoyed everyone. Let's finish this conversation online at thevisionarywoman.com.
Yes.
We will see you next Thursday or talk to you next Thursday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Later.
Later. Thank you for having me.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot, inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are visionary women.